to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
All right, guys, welcome to another edition of Into the Void. This is kind of cool because I've never had this big of a guest on here. We do have Chelsea Grin in the building with us today. I really don't know how to feel about this right now. Like, I'm kind of freaking out, but at the same time, because it's like, I grew up listening to you guys. So it's like an out-of-body experience almost. But at the same time, it's like, the inner journalist in me is like, kind of like, keep it cool. This is like, you do this all the time with all these other bands. It's a really great opportunity to be able to speak with you guys. I do want you to properly introduce yourself once I stop hype manning you and kind of give the floor to you.
My name is Steven. I play guitar for Chelsea Grin. Yeah, I'm just stoked to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Wow. I think like when we kind of go back to how long you guys have been doing music for us, I know I started listening to you guys back in, I want to say 2012, 2013, but I know you guys started doing music like back in 2007. I know you guys released two EPs and, you know, five full lengths up until this point. How have you managed to keep audiences engaged on a technical and aggressive level, being that you guys have been together for so long?
Well, I mean, my perspective is kind of a weird one because I joined the band in 2014. You know, obviously the band had a legacy prior to that.
Right.
So, you know, I can only really speak insofar as my role has, you know, come into play. But, you know, the band established themselves as this very heavy, you know, like OG deathcore band. A 15-year career, obviously, it's kind of hard to keep it fresh and keep people coming and whatnot. And the band's trajectory has been a slow growth the whole time. It's not like we at any point had this quick rise to fame or like any flash in the pan. You know, it's been, and when I say fame, I don't mean like actual fame. I just mean like deathcore.
Right.
Deathcore world. But like, it's been this slow progress. But I think the key to that has just been that the band, with every album, barring some things here and there, has been like a slow progression of intensifying the sound, refining it and maturing it. And so we're not the same band in pretty much any way that the band was when it started. I mean, like, our members are all very different. Our sound has progressed a ton. It's just been about pushing that envelope and paying homage to where the band comes from, not just in our outside influences, but when I'm writing, I'm trying to do honor to the old material, you know, the stuff that I wasn't able to be here for, the foundational sound for the band. And I think that for us, it's always just been about being true to ourselves. We're writing what we want to write, but it also is convenient that what we want to write kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, like staying true to our sound and not like deviating crazy far, but just sort of pulling in more and more influence from artists we love, from life experience, things like that. We're very reflective when we write. And so I think that we've been able to maintain this fan base and maintain our careers just because it's super authentic and it's focused on growing and growing with our fans. You know, we're getting older. Our fans are getting older. I mean, we're gaining new fans that are younger as well, but it's just about always moving forward. So every album we put out isn't like the last album. Maybe certain sounds are, but it's always growth. You know, there's always something new happening. So I think that's kind of how we've managed to stay fresh and keep it going all these years.
Now, I definitely do feel that with this album. Going into our next question, how would you say creatively this process was different from 2018's Eternal Nightmare? I know before all of this, like you said, you guys went through quite a turbulent time, to say the least, with member lineup changes. And I think it's safe to say Eternal Nightmare, I feel like, was a time to get things in order. I feel like now things are kind of laser focused and things are kind of revitalized within your sound, to say the least. Do you think that's fair to say that you guys have finally found like some kind of finality with where you guys want to go now?
Yeah. I mean, every album is sort of a, an experiment of chemistry for us. And, you know, we have gone through a lot of member changes, but I think what's always carried through is, you know, the core sound. This album was unique in a lot of ways. I mean, Eternal Nightmare, Tom joined our band for that. Mm-hmm. But he came in a couple weeks into the recording process and didn't have the opportunity to spend time writing a lot of lyrics and planning his delivery. So it was right. a lot of like working together to get that job done. I know David wrote a lot of the lyrics on Eternal Nightmare, and Drew Folk, the producer we were working with for that record, he was super implemental in like bringing vocals together. And Tom came in and he didn't have as much of an opportunity to just do his own thing and to be himself. While he was, you know, himself, we were pushing him to try new vocal styles he'd never done. We were just like, really, we knew that Tom could do anything. And so we just pushed him to do anything. And then, so he did. And since then he's been refining it. And now with these two new albums, he had a chance to really just be himself, sound like himself, write all of the lyrics and plan his delivery. So this is much more focused for Tom. This is like much more of a representation of Tom. And so, you know, that's one way in which this process and the chemistry developed vocally. I think for me as a writer, a songwriter, I've been refining my personal style since I started writing. You know, it's an ever growing process. Well, Self-Inflicted was the first album I really wrote on. That one to me was really testing the waters, and like, it's not my favorite, it's none of our favorite album, but I look at it as like, okay, we needed that to, for me to like get to my comfort zone, see what works, see how I can fuse my style with the band's style. Eternal Nightmare was much more like, okay, this is going to be our sound, like we're finding our groove musically or instrumentally. This is like where the band is destined to head. And this is what feels right. And so on this album, it was like, I'm taking all of this learning I'm doing and sort of creating this conglomerate of everything I've learned, everything I've studied from the band's past, from my influences personally. And so this one is, like you said, a lot more like laser focus. The album is very diverse from song to song, but it all falls under one umbrella. So there's this theme that underlies all of it. And obviously having Tom on all the songs ties everything together. But like, it spans a lot of the metal playing field. You know, no two songs sound the same, but I think that's intentional. Like, we wanted to present the fact that the band has had so many sounds means that we can really do whatever we want. And it still fits in the ballpark of Chelsea Grin. So with this one, it was exciting because I could just do whatever I wanted, but it's still fair game. You know, it's not like I'm going way out into left field and taking these crazy risks. It's like the band prior to my time in the band, and even during my time to the band, it's a melting pot of all things metal. So the focus there was just to present as much as we could to show that we take influence from everything. We can throw our hat in whatever ring we so choose. And so, yeah, it was really focused and the chemistry was really dialed. We all felt really great creating together.
I definitely felt that when you go into the lyrical aspect of Suffer in Hell, I feel like it is tapping into a larger story than I think you guys have really delved into previously, especially since it is kind of like a double LP, which is coming out later within the spring of next year. I guess I want to dive into that a little bit more because I do find the lyrical aspects very intriguing. I want to know, I guess, what made you guys want to tap into this? Because what I find interesting about this is Suffer in Hell and Suffer in Heaven, both dualities are supposed to have heavy and light aspects, but yet both somewhat seem to have the same result, it seems, on both ends of the spectrum, which I find kind of interesting when you look at both titles of the album. What made you guys want to dig into this aspect going into the writing process?
I think, like I said, the band has had so many sounds in the past, but for this, the idea behind the album is that, you know, suffering is involved in all of our lives, no matter who you are. No one is above, no one goes without it throughout life. And when we were writing it, it was like stylistically, song A may be a faster, more death metal paced song. It may have like more of an upbeat sound to it. It may not be the darkest chords. It may not be the chuggiest, heaviest breakdowns, but there's still a lot of suffering that goes on, especially like conveyed throughout the lyrics.
Right.
I kind of referenced it with the last question, but showcase the ability to have this theme of pain and suffering, have this Chelsea Grin sound running through the veins of all sorts of different bodies, all sorts of different styles. It's basically, you know, suffer in hell, suffer in heaven, and we cover everything in between, you know, from hell to heaven, and every step between the two, we touch on it. We just try to cover that full spectrum. So it was important to us, you know, not necessarily in like a gloating or an ego way, but to show that we could do whatever we wanted and to incorporate this common theme within it, something that everybody can relate to. There's a song for everyone. There's moments on the album discussing things that we've probably all gone through together or apart. So it's really just intentionally trying to make something that everyone could relate to, be involved in, and resonate with.
No, I definitely feel like there's a more fear sound coming out of this album. I feel like there's a more technically advanced growth in this album as well, as you jump from song to song. Like you said, what you get from one song is definitely not what you get in another song moving forward, but yet the premise is still keeping in stride with the overall message of the record. Whereas with Eternal Nightmare, it was dark and it kind of had like a suffocating atmosphere in that album. I feel like with this album, even though there's darker elements to it, there's an instrumental way of being free and knowing where you guys are at now and being able to show all those sides to you guys now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is just trying to be a demonstration. One track, like we've got this song called Morning Hymn, and this one is relentless. It's insane on guitar. It's like going to be the most stressful song ever to play for me, but it's like pure death metal. It's fast, it's crazy. And then the next song is the title track, Suffer in Hell, Suffer in Heaven. And it's just the slowest breakdown you've ever heard that gets slower and slower. And it's just wild and crazy heaviness. And that kind of duality stylistically was important for us to capture, you know, juxtaposing these crazy styles together, but showing that it can all be under one umbrella while refining our sound to be more mature and instill more emotion in people, you know, a broader spectrum of feelings and emotions. So it was really important to us to, you know, I just keep saying it, but to create this diverse experience for listeners, that's part of our growth, is the ability to write anything and make sure that there are themes that make it us, but grow what is us. You know, we're set up for the next record. There's nothing we won't be able to do and have it be Chelsea Grin. So it's an exciting thing. You know, we're looking to the future, set ourselves up to be whatever band we want to be. It feels nice to feel ourselves growing as individuals and as a band together, stylistically, musically, and in our relationships just with each other. And that's all reflected in what you're going to be hearing.
No, it definitely very much so. I know for the longest time, there was a point where, not in a bad way, but I felt that Chelsea Grin was somewhat stagnant in some sound ways. But then once 2014 and up sort of hit, I felt you guys sort of started to grow and more become your own. And I feel like with this album here, I definitely see that there's something more evolved. Something has risen from the ashes here. And I definitely see you guys being more comfortable and more confident than ever in your sound than you guys have ever been in the past. And I think a lot of people are going to welcome these two albums with open arms once they see what you guys got to offer in terms of sound and the duality and the overall message that you guys are bringing to the table.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I think that the band sort of had a sound. And then when Jason Richardson entered the band, he pushed it to a new level of like technicality. That's like when we started having the ability to do whatever we so chose to do with Ashes to Ashes. That album is so all over the place in a good way, in my opinion. And I can say that because I didn't write on it. You know, I wrote one song on it, Nightmares, actually. I wrote that one, but that really opened the doors, and it was accepted so widely that we were like, okay, people are cool with us breaking the mold of our band a little bit and stepping out of the comfort zone and starting to incorporate a lot more influence. it feels like we have found, you know, there's been trials and tribulations and hits and misses and songs we don't love and albums we're less stoked on, but like, it's all part of the process of reaching where we are today. And where we are today is, even though it may seem like we have this identity crisis, sometimes I listen to the album and I'm like, are people going to think we're having an identity crisis because there's so many sounds on it? Mm-hmm. But then I think like, well, no, this is just us. I mean, we listen to everything. We love everything. We listen to all metal. Anything in the metal world is something I enjoy. Even though this album's crazy, it's really true to us.
Right.
Even though no two songs are the same, it's not because we didn't know what to write. It's because we knew we wanted to write exactly what we wanted to, and we just wrote what felt good.
I think the traditional listener of Chelsea Grin is going to understand where you guys are coming from, as opposed to, again, somebody that's just coming into this will be like, well, this may sound all over the place. But once you give it like the next few listens, I think people will understand the framework of where you guys are coming from, that you guys appreciate all forms of metal when it comes to when you deliver your craft, that it's not just, you know, some one trick pony that you guys try to deliver from album to album. It's just, you come from a multifaceted background and you guys try to show that with each release. And it definitely does show that in a more focused way with this album. So I guess going into my next question, as an artist, how do you feel coming off of Eternal Nightmare and into Suffer in Hell? How has that helped guide you in terms of growth as an artist with the band and for yourself? And I know we talked about before, Eternal Nightmare was like kind of sort of putting the pieces together when everything seemed like it was kind of like chaotic at the time. And I know here we already said that everything now down to the narrative and the soundscapes, everything seems more grounded and everything seems more solid now. But just from your perspective, how has this helped you grow in terms of an artist moving forward?
Well, I think you always highlight what does well on a record and you pay attention to what people resonate with so that you can apply that to your next record. So like with Eternal Nightmare, mm-hmm. We saw what did really well. You know, we saw The Hostages, we saw Dead Rose, we saw, you know, what songs hit with people. And we were like, okay, well, obviously we need to include that sound in whatever mm-hmm. we do moving forward. We've just paid attention to what our fans have enjoyed the most. And luckily it's in line with what we enjoy writing. You focus on the wins and you try to recreate the wins as best as you can without, you know, carbon copying everything. But it also gives you a sense of confidence. Like Eternal Nightmare did well in a way that we were like, okay, well, we can endure. Like we are a tough band and we can handle things with grace and we can just be professional about it. And it kind of solidified to us that we can weather whatever storm we want to while doing what we want to do. So it's like some artists, I feel like, get trapped in having to recreate a sound because that's what does well for them. But for us, it's like we've come to realize that we can really touch on so many things and it still do well for us. Like we're lucky in that sense that our sound has become accepted as being broad. So, you know, that confidence, that excitement, and that lack of pressure was really awesome. And of course, there's still pressure to create an album that people will enjoy and that will love as well. But it alleviated some of that. I was like, okay, I can get away with writing this song and people will probably like it. I can get away with writing something totally wacky and people will probably still enjoy it. So why stress? Just enjoy it, write good songs, you know, just relish in the opportunity to even be doing this in the first place. You know, approaching this record was the most grateful I've been for being able to write. And, you know, like obviously I was going through a full range of emotion while writing it, and that's reflected in a lot of the songs. But throughout it all, we were all just happy to be here, happy to be making music, happy for the opportunity. And, you know, let's not waste this shot. Let's give people our all. Let's give them something huge. So I think leading up to this point has been a lot of like trials, tribulations, testing out the waters. And now we have a clear picture of what we can do. And so that kind of just fortifies the writing process, fortifies the chemistry, fortifies our role in this genre. And so now we're at a point where we're just like, yeah, this is us. Maybe crazy, maybe all over the place, and maybe a lot of different sounds, but we write it with our heads held high.
I think that's a confident message for not only yourself, but I think for what people should take from you guys moving forward, whether they're just kind of getting into you guys or they've been fans of you guys for years. It's always been a treasure seeing you guys grow throughout the years. And I think, like I said, this has been the most confident and I think the most happy that I've seen you guys in a very long time. What is next for you guys moving forward? I know this is a big chunk of it. The new album is coming out soon, but what is next for you guys moving forward? Is there any major tours or, you know, what's going on with you guys?
A lot of it's unannounced, but we're just planning like the busiest future we've ever had. We've got Europe co-headlining with Carnifex coming up at the end of next month. And that's not album related. We're playing our original EP, obviously, plus a bunch of songs, but like that's been in the books for a long time. Then we're going to Australia with Thy Art Is Murder. That'll be huge. And then after that, it's like really just album season. It's time to like headline and showcase the album and do that all the while writing for the next one. But, you know, right now is present ourselves to the world as much as we can and get our name in everybody's mouth. Just take this body of work we've created and make sure it's distributed effectively, not just like in people buying it and stuff like that, but in people just hearing it,
right,
and seeing it and conveying to people that this isn't just business as usual for the band. We want in every way to establish and make obvious that this is a new era for our band. It's going to be busy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be hectic. Everyone on earth will have an opportunity to see us if they want to. Yeah, it's just going to be chaos in a good way.
No, I definitely believe that to be true. I always kind of like to bring up this question as well. What do you want people to take from this album cycle that they haven't taken from other previous cycles? You bring up the different aspects of people taking it in from a live aspect versus from people listening to it through these. What do you want people to be taking from this moving forward?
I want people to understand that whatever happens with our band, whoever is in our band, whoever's playing with us, that it's still us, that the lifeblood, the original founding DNA of our band is still here. It doesn't matter the faces behind it. It's the same passion. It's the same care. It's the same legacy. Mm-hmm. The names may change and the sounds may change, but it's us. And we still resonate with this music. We love making this music. I think a lot of people waver because they see that it's not an original lineup or they hear right. the sound evolving. My message to that is some of us have been here so long, some longer than others, but this is Chelsea Grin. It is Chelsea Grin. This is an evolving organism and we're not following the same path that other bands follow. We're not going to give up doing what we love because there's different people here and people might be mad about who's in the band. Like that will never stop us. We'll never change our name, things like this. This is us. And we're confident in that. Like all of us have loved this band even before being in it so much to the point where it is us. Like Chelsea Grin is an identifying part of my life. And I may not be an original member, but what you hear right now is a product of us being together. The fact that this band is still going, it's because we love doing what we do. And I hope people can understand that and hear that. And we are doing as much justice to this original sound as we can while appeasing our appetites for what we want to create. And I want people to understand that this is a new era for the band while still being the same band. It's still Chelsea Grin. We're still bringing it to you old school style while bringing in the new school. You know, a change in sound, a change in members doesn't mean necessarily as much as some people may think it does. And I understand people have attachments to when they may have first discovered a band, but we aren't like other bands in the sense that we have evolved in so many different directions. And I just hope that people can accept that. Our timeline may be unorthodox and it may be a little different than people are used to seeing, but that's just how our business operates. It's ever evolving. It's morphing. Just because it's not normal or the usual doesn't mean it's unacceptable. So I hope people can just accept that and embrace where we are now, embrace who we are, and understand that we all love doing this. We all care so much about our band. We care about bringing music to people. We care about seeing everyone and being seen and heard. And then, you know, reciprocating that to our audience and to our fans. It's a legacy that we want to uphold. It doesn't matter who's part of it. It just matters a lot to all of us.
Well, I want to thank you, Stephen, for coming onto the show and really digging deep into what makes Chelsea Grin tick, the new album that's coming out. I'm sure everybody is going to get a taste of not only just the new Chelsea Grin, but the Chelsea Grin that's always been there in some way, shape, or form that people have always seen and maybe have not always seen, but are willing to dig deep enough and realize that it's always been there all along. I want to thank you for coming on to the show. It really means a lot to people like me that really like to tell you guys a story from an outside point of view, not just through writing or different publications, but from your word of mouth. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Into the Void. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. If you're listening on any other social streaming apps, remember to do your thing on there, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks for having me.